O mighty one, our sacrifice begins. We commence.
To Spellbird, a podcast about the Dungeon Crawl Classics role-playing game. It's time to party like it's 1974.
If you're anything like Julian and I, then you had way too much to drink during the last session and you need a refresher on what's going on. But first, introductions. I'm Jeff, and I'll be playing Dayog the Blue.
And I'm Julian, and I'll be playing Yorvink the Yonder, fifth level thief.
And I'm Jeffrey. I'll be playing Gimbal Bonecrusher, the Dwarven Ratcatcher.
And I'm Jen. I'll be herding these cats through the final part of DCC number 100, or at least as far as they can get tonight.
Wow.
All right, straight into it. Let's see if I can do a 30-second recap. You came across what you found out to be called a Sheaf of Chaos. You were set upon by some really sneaky people who also seem to have one of those sheaves on them as well. All of this led to researching, finding out that Sagar Matha is the highest point, and this is where the God-Eater theophages have been trying to do all of the things of combining elements and introducing chaos into the world. Okay, so I let you rest way, way, way too much last time.
Yeah, I was surprised how nice you were being to us with that.
And, you know, with a special episode, I kind of felt sorry for you. I really just wanted to move crap along. And
well, I appreciate it.
The sooner you died, the sooner we had to worry about bringing in a new PC. So screw it, man. Heal up. I know that the doors are pretty much shut on you now. Or at least they will be very soon. Gimbal, I hope your player has better dice tonight.
Definitely, I hope so.
So you guys are inside this big, huge mountain. You saw that the core of it has pretty much been, it's almost this huge cylindrical shaft of weird elemental rivulets coming down the sides and pooling down at the bottom fathoms below. And you decided to go straight across into what you suspected was the goat region, according to the little alembic key that you have found. And so that's about where y'all are right this minute.
So can you remind me, we have this object that we can turn, and as far as we can tell, it turns this room as well, the rooms as well.
That is what you suspect. When you were standing outside, you aligned it a certain way, and you aligned it so that the sigil for the earth element is in the zodiac house of the goat. And that opened for you. You crossed from that entrance over the bridge of this just vast inside, interior of a mountain, and you went straight across to what you suspect was the house of the goat and entered there with a little bit of thinking thievery through you figured out the way the door was swinging, and you managed to squeeze into a hallway. And you've not come across anything yet. That's about where we stop.
Okay, so we are in this room. Jen, remind me, what does this room look like?
You are in a hallway. It has been a very long hallway. It's roughly circular. It's rough stone. There's clusters of crystals jutting from the walls and ceiling that kind of refract your light around. And the air is cold and dry. And thus far, you've gone probably about 100 feet down this corridor since squeezing through that door. You're just about to a dead end, and you see it veers to your left at the end of this corridor. There's also an opening to the right just before that. So that is, we're totally up to you guys.
Perfect. And are these crystals making my wizardly beard tingle? Do they feel like little magical crystals? Can I break one off and put one in my pocket?
They feel more, you reach up to them, they feel pretty natural. If you guys are quiet, you can almost hear this high-pitched keening and cracking. They're slowly expanding like a living organism, like crystal.
So, Gimbal, are you taking the lead as we go down the hall?
Yeah, I'll go up front.
Are your dwarf nose hairs tingling?
Yeah, so, like, using my, like, construction, can I make any guesses about this hallway? Is it a living hallway? Is it actual stone?
As a reminder, when you moved the Alembic Key into the place that it is in, you moved the symbol for Earth into the area that you feel you went toward. And this would certainly play to that with the earthen kind of curved out rounded tunnels there and the crystals above. So, yeah, more or less a natural area.
And we're in the House of Goat, right? The Earth Goat, is that right?
Currently, yes.
Okay. So there was a door down this...
There's like an opening to the right.
And a door on the left.
Right past that opening, the hallway veers quickly to the left.
Yes.
Oh, now...
So Gimbal will cautiously approach that opening off to the right, and he's fine if he goes a little ahead of the party if they don't want to come too close, and just sort of peer in there, staying sort of low.
It appears to be more of the same.
So just another hallway that goes off and...
As far as you can tell at the moment, there it might curve a couple other directions or branch off maybe just outside your light.
Okay. Can I see, now that I've moved forward towards this one that goes off, can I see veering off to the left? Is it still continuing to veer? Is there anything else different up that way?
So you were checking out the right. When you go to the left, it seems to be a straight hallway that goes into a chamber of some sort.
It has like a doorway or just like opens right into a chamber? Just an arch?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'll motion back just sort of like arch. And obviously, we've been adventuring together for a while, so we have our hand signals established. And then Gimbal sort of nodding towards the chamber, but the others wish to... go.
Well, I'm going to let Gimbal decide because he's in front.
So Gimbal's going to start moving on. As he moves past that hall on the right, he'll look down, just continue to look down, make sure he doesn't see anything moving or if he sees anything else different than what has been described already. Otherwise, he will continue towards the arch and he'll stop just short of the arch and look for any runes, markings, carvings, symbols, anything like that. Also examine the floor of the arch. Does the earth look as solid as it has been so far? Everything, like all the things a cautious dwarf in an underground environment would do.
The cautious dwarf is cautious, and there does not seem to be anything different about the passageway prior to the arch.
Okay.
And as you get closer to it, you can tell that it opens onto a vaulted area. But what are you guys doing? Deog, Jorvink, you just sending your dwarf in there?
No, I'm following Gimbal, but I'm maybe keeping like a good 15 feet between me and Gimbal.
Perfect. I will stay back with Deog, and then we'll follow Gimbal's lead.
I love the teamwork here.
Yeah.
Sure. Go ahead, shove.
I cast find traps using a dwarf.
I'm not sure if I'm going to have to set you back for that or give you a bonus. So, Gimbal, you see that this vaulted room actually looks a bit like a chapel. The air is thick with incense, and there are thousands of candles arrayed in tiers along the floor and in niches cut into the high walls, and it casts the entire chamber in a hazy, flickering light. There are misty kind of stone steps that descend into this hall, and the archways, the archway both near you and on the opposite side, both are flanked by a pair of towering stone statues depicting humanoids with the heads of beasts. Likewise, on the other side, you notice that each of these things, being about 30 feet tall, they hold enormous braziers, and they burn with gray flame, casting dull shadows across the hall, kind of intermingling with candles.
All right, so I've got a handful of questions here.
I'm sure you do. But Gimbal's in front.
Has Gimbal walked in more than 15 feet at this point?
I was sort of at the edge, but I pictured myself like at the arch, like right at the arch.
So I'm like, Gimbal, what do you see?
I'll describe, what I can. Candle.
Jen, I will. Jorvink will approach to where Gimbal is, and can I just find traps on the archway? But there's two statues kind of inside. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the archway and then the statues, and then across the way a bit, another pair of statues and another archway.
Right. Can I just do a quick find traps kind of on that opening, looking for tripwires or plates? Like, just seems like right at that arch or right between those statues is going to be where the trap is to me. I'll put my longsword in there, touch around, look for seams, anything.
Give me a D24.
Okay.
And also just a quick question to make sure I'm visualizing this correctly. So we've got the two archways. We're currently one. Is the other archway directly across from us? Okay. And then you said something about stairs. Do the stairs from each archway go down and then the floor of the room is below the archway door?
The passageway, it's a little misleading for me because we don't have every single detail on this map at this point. But there's stairs and then archway. Passage, step, arch, room.
Passage, steps. Oh, and then I see. So the steps are before the archway, before we come into the room.
Yeah, don't overthink it.
Gotcha. Okay.
What'd you get, Julian?
I got a fumble, of course. But with my, I don't know if it makes a difference. With my fine traps, it was a 9.
A fumble's a fumble.
Well, yeah.
You're fine. I mean, you're fine.
Yeah. Okay. Gimbal, it's completely fine. No problem. You go ahead, little buddy.
Gimbal will proceed through the arches. The one arch into the room. And he is going to keep a leery eye on those statues, though, for any signs of glimmering changes. He's not trusting those statues much.
And if Gimbal is still alive and unmolested 15 feet into the chamber, Dayog will then follow.
No molesting! Yes.
Yeah. Don't molest my dwarf!
All is well.
Okay, so I'm going to walk into the chamber and I'm going to start wafting the incense into my wizardly nostrils. being somebody who is, excuse me, well-educated and well-versed in the alchemical arts, does the smell of incense tell me anything of note?
It really just kind of contributes to the gray. I mean, it's not really more of a smoke than an incense.
Okay, and then in terms of the candles, there's thousands of them. Do they all look like they are freshly lit and in perfect condition? Do they all look like they've been burning for hours and have pools of wax around them? Or like are they at various states that look like they're like regularly replaced as each one burns out?
I'm going to say that would be a great detail to have in writing here. And so I'll say they're new.
All of them look like they are fresh candles. Interesting. Okay.
Does Jen speak for
Oh, of course. But that's what we do at DCC modules. There's a lot of stuff that's not listed in there, and we just make up the details. So yeah. I love it.
No, listeners, you get to hear judging in action.
With all of its confidence.
So Jen, you said the fire that the statues had in the braziers was gray, I think.
That is the appearance.
But it's not like statue fire, right? It's not like a sculpture of fire. It's like actual burning. It looks like burning fire that is gray color.
Yeah, that's a safe assessment.
Okay. But the candles are more or less normal? Or are they also gray light, like that kind of stuff?
You know, I'm going to say they're kind of, you know, because of the braziers, they're the whole place with the smoke and the braziers and everything, it's all kind of gray washed.
Okay. All right. Fair. And there's nothing else besides the candles in here? Do we see you?
I think there's a total of 30-foot statues.
Are they elephant heads like the other Agartha maiden we saw, or are they other beasts?
That is an excellent question. I'll get to you in just a sec. Jeffrey, did you have anything you wanted to look at or do?
I was mainly just walking past the arch, keeping an eye on the statues to make sure I see no movements or anything like that. Once I'm sure that's pretty good, then I'll continue to examine the room, look at the ceiling, look for any other side passages that we might not have been able to see from just outside.
Hold that thought. Julian, I'm sorry, your Vink, as you're just kind of craning your neck up and you're staring at these statues, the two flanking the archway that you have come through are that of a goat. The two on the other side appear to have the heads of wolves. Otherwise, they're humanoid in form.
Oh, this is maybe like it crosses from the house of the goat to the house of the wolf in this little chamber or something. Because we came in the goat, and the goat is on our side.
Now, Gimbal was crossing over or no?
I'm crossing into the room just past the statues. As I did that, I kept an eye on the statues.
They did not move.
So 10, 15 feet into the room. Did not move.
You're fine.
I would like to start investigating all the walls and shelves and things that these candles are on and looking for like little niches or any inscriptions.
Pretty much featureless.
Okay. How about the massive statues themselves? Do they have any kind of inscriptions or carvings on them?
Well, you notice the heads of two of them.
And all four holding these massive burning braziers.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no writing of any sort.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the massive burning brazier, since these things are 30 feet tall, those are probably like 20 feet up, right?
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. So they're up there. So like we can't just like look inside of the braziers.
I could climb up and take a look, but
I was just going to say, we don't have anything stipulating what happens if you do that. Sure, you can do that.
Would you like a spider climb?
Well, I'm a pretty good climber.
All right, then go for it.
Yeah, I'll make a climb check on it. I'll just climb up quick and take a look in the brazier close up. Because that seems like the stupidest thing for a thief to do. So, yeah, let's look at the gray magical fire attached to the 20-foot. What could go wrong?
So if any judge ever wondered what it's like to have, like, players who are all about keeping the motion going, don't look to Julian.
So I got a 14 climb check, and presumably have a rope to help myself.
You can get up there. You can stick your head over it. It's really hot.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. It gives off. We don't see anything weird or anything else besides just noticing the heat.
No, there's no inscriptions or anything like that. There's okay. Nothing
peculiar is being burned in the brazier.
Okay, I go back down.
Can't really get a space that close to look and see what's being burned because it's really hot.
Yeah.
I figured self-preservation. So yeah. On your side.
Thank you. Yeah. I agree. Self-preservation, safety first.
Mm-hmm.
It's at least 2 days in the frozen temple since an accident. All right, so I'm coming down the statue. I think we should go back to the right-hand side. I mean, this seems like a transition space to between the houses, probably.
So what I'm curious about is the rodents that I'm currently leaking, are they still frozen in here, or are they like fully mobile?
I mean, it's chill in here, but you're not subject to the constant cold and the blizzard conditions that you were when you were outside in the monastery.
So as I leak them, they are kind of scurrying about.
I'm going to say you haven't cast anything since coming in here. And even though that's a constant, it's not like every 2 minutes.
Okay.
You're not accumulating a hoard.
I'm going to wait for a couple minutes and let a few rodents leak out of me. And Gimbal, since you are a rat catcher, would you like to go ahead and try to herd some of these rodents kind of down the hall to see if these rodents growing ahead of us helps us at all?
Yeah, like down towards the wolf heads?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gimbal will definitely utilize his rat-catching skills to try to herd some towards the far side of the wall, always making sure the rats are in front of him.
Okay. So as you're trying to herd them, are you trying to get them to go up those other steps and everything? Like, how close are you going to the other side is what I need to know.
That sounds like a loaded question.
It does.
I'm trying to figure out where things will be.
Gimbal's pretty good at this. So he's going to try to keep the rats like 10 feet ahead of him.
Okay.
So he will walk, which he thinks would let him stay inside the room, not pass through, but enable the rats to go through. And as he gets to that final push, if he's struggling to do that, he'll pick up a little something off the ground and skitter it at him just to spook him into going that extra little bit.
So you get about halfway across the room as you're just kind of darting around like a sheep herding dog, basically. As a rat catcher, if you will. You're kind of stomping after him and everything. You get about halfway across the room, and you need to give me a fort save.
22.
Nice.
Okay. Nothing happens. And
do I feel like something? Like, do I feel like, oh, shoot? Like, or do I just, am I oblivious to?
You think maybe it's psychosomatic. Because now you're on the wolf side, and that's kind of where you wanted to be.
Okay.
You rats have no problem navigating. You know, the stairs might be.
And do they go through the archway? I see them go. They don't disappear into ether or anything. They just.
Okay. No, I mean the hallway at this point, the hallway is kind of dull.
As in, no crystal in it.
If anything, the hallway on the other side, as you're looking, it seems a little bit darker, maybe warmer.
Okay.
In contrast, the stuff you were in was more or less natural, just earth and stone with the crystalline structure up above, those clusters, and it was really cool and dry, and this one's a little warmer.
So with the rats gone, I will go back to my buddies and move back across the room.
I will need a will save.
Eek. That would be a 2.
Ooh.
Both, as Gimbal runs back across, you almost see him frown as the statues with the goat heads, on which are nearest you, break free of their mountings and begin to tilt the braziers of gray flame in your general direction.
Hmm.
I want to run to the wolf side through the archway. Following my ropes.
Yeah, I will too.
Yeah. We'll see how this goes. I mean, for you guys.
Oh, boo!
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so you guys, I'll need a reflex save for all three of you. And then if you're running to the opposite side, I'll need additional roll.
Is a 14 enough of a reflex save?
You're close.
Is a 15 enough?
That'll work.
I made a 21.
Nice. What'd you get, Gimbal?
19.
Ooh, nice.
Gimbal is nimble.
Mm-hmm. What do our hit points look like out there, guys?
I've got 11.
Okay, Dayog goes down hard.
And I was at full.
And you two both take 13 points of fire damage, and that is halved.
Yeah. All right, then. Okay.
The good news is Dayog doesn't have to worry about giving me a fort save just yet.
So, I think I'm going to keep running through that door. Are we enveloped by the gray flame is when they poured the flame on us, basically, type thing?
Yeah, it was everything within a 20-foot radius up to 50 feet away from the statue. So huge, huge range there. Are you running back the way you came or across the room?
So what I'm trying to understand here, is am I on fire? Am I surrounded by fire? Is there flaming oil that poured out of these things? Like, what is my what's my immediate situation? Because it would help me determine if I want to go forward or go back. You know, is there more of that crap in front of me or behind me? That kind of stuff.
Your Vink is not on fire.
Okay.
Nor is Gimbal.
Is the room on fire?
No, it was more of an instantaneous damage kind of thing. Let me rephrase that. It was a one-time thing.
Got it. So there's no remaining
animated, and they are still looking not friendly.
How far am I from Gimbal at this point?
Although, quick side note, I'd like to say that I like to imagine that when people aren't here, these massive statues are walking around and trying to light all these candles, but like their fingers are so big and these candles are so small that it's like this very challenging, delicate process for them to like get these thousands of candles lit the way they like.
I'm okay with that. You go on with that. That's cool.
That's the way I envision this room working when the characters aren't here.
Gimbal was running back across and that seems to have triggered these.
Yeah. So,
we should do initiative.
Yeah, if you like.
Go ahead and sound off.
Jorvink got a 7.
I don't know if it matters, but I have a 5.
Oh, man. These are not happy combatants. Well, Gimbal, I thought it was going to be good news. It was a really low die roll, but wow, it's a 30-foot tall statue, and it has one heck of a modifier. So I have an unnatural 20. Coming at you.
That just hits me.
Can you take another 12 points? Pretty impressive. Jorvink.
I am going to grab Deog and run through the opposite door. Keep on with the same plan we had. Just keep going.
Toward the statues with the wolf heads.
Yes.
Okay. I will need a fortitude save from you.
Okay.
Do you need one from Deog, who's unconscious?
Fort save, I got a 10. And I'll probably want to burn some luck there, I assume.
Ooh, yeah, make use of that luck die.
So I'm a luck die 7. I'm going to roll a couple of these because... Oh, yep, glad I did. And I got a 19 with my luck die.
You're really close.
Holy smoke. Well, I guess I'm done. I don't think I can keep adding at that point. I mean, are you going to let me burn more luck?
I'll let you burn as much luck as you want.
All right. Well, then I'll burn one, and that'll put me... I mean, I'm assuming it's... I'm guessing 20, but I'll tell you what. Since I got a whole die's worth, 25.
There you go.
All right.
So you get across just fine. It is Gimbal's go next. What is your play?
My party is running away, and I've got two giant angry statues that hit hard, right?
We're running toward you, Gimbal, right? Because you're on the other side.
I failed a will save on the way towards you guys.
Okay.
So if you're going back the other way, I'll need another fort save from you.
We'll go for the fort save. I got a 19.
Just shy.
I'll burn a point of luck to hit 20.
Good deal.
Good job, Gimbal. You're a regular luck battery. Oh, that's not the dwarves. Oh, well, whatever. Oh, you all, you know.
Yeah. I suppose in another case of good news, bad news, the wolf-headed statues do not animate. The downside, you do still have one more coming toward you. Jorvink, that's going to try and smash one of those giant fists on top of you. Let's see, Dea, you are unconscious. That doesn't help anybody. Yeah, okay. Well, hey, that doesn't totally suck then. And Jorvink takes a whopping 6 points from a 30-foot tall statue.
I'm still up, but not for much longer.
And I am presuming correct me if I'm wrong, that you are heading up those stairs and skedaddling?
Oh, yes.
Yep.
And these statues are too large. They cannot follow you.
That was the idea.
So, what you doing now? That was a quick game.
I suppose, absent a cleric, we're going to be flipping the Deog, one of my favorite euphemisms.
So you get to the other side, you get up those steps, you realize they're pretty much stuck like big old giants in a video game, and get a little bit more into this side. The walls, ceiling, and floor are composed of sooty brass, and they are very warm to the touch. You also get the scent, that stench of sulfur in the air.
So this is the fire wolf.
And yeah.
As you set Deog down, you're like, oh crap, I hope this doesn't cause more damage. And you actually find yourself coughing a little bit from the strenuous activity of hauling him all the way over in a rush.
Also, I like to imagine that ever since I fell unconscious, I've now been leaking unconscious rodents.
I'm going to say not very many, otherwise your Vink would have tripped.
Okay.
You know, I'm
on the side,
right? So, yeah.
So am I doing the roll the body?
That would probably be the way to do it, yeah.
Okay, so...
Sure, you don't like clerics. No clerics for you. Dun, 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 dun,
don't like any clerics. Because I believe wizards should have healing spells.
Well, what good would that do us?
I would have... Yeah, good point. Hush. Hush. I'm going to roll my big die here for all of us to see. My luck is currently 3.
Oh my god!
So there's only a 15% chance this is going to work. 17. Nope.
No. That was the balance.
Deog the Blue has reached the end of his journeys.
Sadly, yes.
He's now in heaven partying with Ward Portal and Scorching Ray. They put on the best parties.
I mean, that's one way to put it, I guess.
Speaking of which, where are all of our hirelings? What have they been up to?
I mean, technically speaking, Gimbal, give me a luck check.
I rolled an 18. Do you want under or something over?
Under.
I should have just let you give me a die roll, right? So you currently have a scribe and dutiful recorder of heroics, a spearman, a jaunty man-at-arms, melancholic axeman, failed squire, the camp cook and poison taster, misanthropic tracker, and a witch hammer.
Well, I have a hard time saying no to anybody who's got the word jaunty in their description. I mean, that's pretty compelling. But that said, that melancholic axe man does have 45 hit points. which I think might be the way to go. So I think I might be learning to play the axe.
All right.
I'm your private axe man, axing for money. With a D7 mighty deed, I'll be family friendly and say, F yeah.
So Jeff's playing a cleric now.
Oh, yeah.
A what?
I'm playing a cleric. My this warrior's got a healing, right?
Oh,
yeah. I can't believe you're keeping the healing from all of us. This is very upsetting.
Hey, it's not me. It's
you. I'm kidding.
I just follow rules. I'm lawful. I follow rules. No, it really makes my life easier is what it does. So we will say that a smattering of your hirelings have managed to accompany you and haven't pissed off any critters in your wake. Gimbal lost that luck check. Roll your deed die for me. It's a D7, right?
3.
There do need to be some ramifications in here. And... You know, it's really funny, Jeff, you were looking back to see which warriors you guys had with you, and that jaunty man-at-arms was actually the last of the goat statue's targets.
No, he was so jaunty!
He was. I mean, if you go back, you might be able to pick up his jaunty little hat.
We will always remember you for your jaunt.
And, yeah, I think there was a hilarious bit of flavor text that Harlade included at one point that said the jaunty man-at-arms really doesn't like the sullen lute player, and which is funny because that's Julian's character.
Since I'm playing the melancholic axeman, the death of my jaunty friend only makes me more melancholic. And my melancholic axeman is actually a melancholic axwoman. Thank you. Axperson.
Perfect.
Axperson. So I am Ogda, the melancholic axperson.
Ogda. I see what you did there.
Yep. Deog, Ogda, and Goda are like three of my go-to names. They're all anagrams of Goad.
I mean, I wish you were creative or something. Come on.
Hey! All right, so we are in the hot seat, in the hot room.
We're in a very long hallway.
Oh, we're in a long hallway. We're not in a room yet.
No. Gimbal. In response to your previous inquiry about dwarfy abilities and dwarfism and the knowledge of, go ahead and give me a d20 plus your intelligence mod.
16 even.
When you first entered and you heard that grinding of stone and it opened into this long walkway into a platform that then had the stairs descending to another central platform in the middle of this cylindrical cutout of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
It was immense. You don't know that you've seen an area quite so big carved out. You actually feel like you are beyond even that.
Okay. Like where we're at right now.
Which,
and so relationally, that doesn't make sense to Gimbal, how that would work unless there was some sort of...
Well, mountains are huge.
Right, but he would know.
Taken a core of it, like a cylindrical core. So you feel like you're on the outlying areas of where that core would be.
Okay.
And Sagar Matha being this huge Everest of a mountain. Yeah.
Okay.
Just a little insight. So you're in a big, long hallway, and it's warm, it stinks, and it goes for some undetermined amount of time and then turns left. And you continue trudging, and you get to a point where you're almost given a fork. The right-hand side continues with more of the same, and the left choice is a narrower hallway.
I'll be down the narrower hallway on the left.
And as you're walking down these soot-covered brass hallways, every now and then, little tiny licks of flame spontaneously erupt from the walls. So you get this effect of dim candlelight as you're going.
Okay.
And after a while you realize, you're getting a little smudged with soot just from the atmosphere.
Okay. And that's new in this narrow hallway, or that's sort of how we got to
through the whole thing? Yeah, through the area. Okay. The illumination is new to this narrower part. You get to the end of this hallway, and you're presented with a T-intersection. To the right, it looks like more of the same. To the left, it looks like a shorter distance of more of the same.
Sorry, it's no longer sooty and brass?
Oh, no, it is. But the licks of flame that spontaneously come out of the walls, that is new to the narrower hallways.
Okay, so it's getting even more fiery as we go down these.
Not any more hot, but yeah, maybe a little more fiery, yeah.
Well, Gimbal, do you have an opinion about left versus right?
Last time we went left and got beat up by the statues. Maybe this time we go right.
Then let's go right.
All right. So you follow that hole through another bend or two and find yourself in a large rectangular area. As you enter this bell place, a wave of dark foreboding washes over you, quickly followed by the stench of dead air and rotten flesh.
Well, Ogda's used to a wave of dark foreboding washing over her, considering how melancholic she is, but she's not used to the smell of, do you say, decaying flesh?
This soot-black laboratory is a maze of scarred wooden tables set with manacles, shackles, and chains, hanging cages, and racks of bladed instruments. At least one of the tables is still occupied, a flayed body pinned to the tabletop with scalpels, cleavers, and green flasks, roiling with barrel lambent light. The body seems to twitch and writhe in the dim glow. Three summoning circles are drawn in the center of the room, circumscribed with sputtering violet candles. Two of the three circles are occupied, but the third, its candles toppled and extinguished, stands empty.
What are the two that are occupied with?
Oh, let's see. One is a little thing. The other is a fairly attractive woman, maybe, depending on your preferences, I suppose. Yeah, the short one, you look at that and the word just kind of pops in your brain. Imp.
So we've got like an imp, we've got like a succubus, and we've got an empty circle.
Mm-hmm. And table filled with experimental mess.
Are the imp and the succubus looking at us?
As you walk in all of your fine armor, yeah.
And does the person who's on the operating table, who's flayed and still twitching, is there anything about their form from a distance that immediately seems inherently demonic?
Well, cleric, you tell me.
Well, you know, Ogda is a melancholic axe person. Mm-hmm. And since she's been melancholic her whole life, she went through quite a goth phase in her teen years. Read a lot about demons. And also her occupation is orphan. So she was a gothy little orphan who was like left by her parents. And the only way she could entertain herself was by like reading about the occult and demonology. So in those wonderful books that she was pilfering from the library in her orphan days, mm-hmm. Does she recognize the flayed thing as the demon?
Negative.
It's looking pretty human.
Yeah.
So Ogda will speak from the hallway, not quite entering the room yet.
Brace yourself, Gimbal.
Ogda says, what's been happening in these rooms? It looks like quite a mess.
Whoever it is on the table doesn't respond.
Okay.
The woman in the circle, surrounded by the violet candles, reaches out, please release us. We've been here for countless spans. Please release us from this hell.
Lady, I'm fifth level. You think I just walked into this place? I might have been born yesterday, but I've been up all night.
Mm-hmm. What's going on with your friend on the table there?
Oh, no. That was one of them.
What happened to your third friend who was summoned? His or her circle seems to be empty.
The imp pipes up with, I can tell you anything you want to know about this grand experiment. Please just release me. I'd be very careful about that other one. It was released in their haste to get out.
Where is it now?
I do not know. I've not seen him since.
Which direction did you last see it go?
That was so long ago. Some of them went that way. And I think it went the same way, but I don't know what direction it would have ended up in.
Who's doing the summoning? Is that the same person who's doing the experiments?
The theophages brought us here. They were trying to... They were experimenting to see just what it would take. And they left us. They left.
Well, they can't have been gone for too long because that fella on the table is still twitching.
Oh, no. He's been gone a long time, too.
Oh, he's been twitching a while now, has he? Is he one of the undead?
I wouldn't say that over there, that's one of them. That's a theophage. He's one of the ones that perpetrated all of this, that started that. He's a god eater.
Was he being experimented upon by another theophage or by one of the ones who escaped the third circle?
More of choice A. Oh, no, I apologize. Strike that from the record. No, that would have been the one that was freed.
Okay, the one that was free has been experimenting on the Theophage.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, he's been this close to death all this time.
Here's the deal. I am not one to speak against chaos. I have no problem with your kind. But I do believe that the chaotic beings belong in their own dimensions. I would like to return you to your home dimension. Are you aware of a way in which I can do that? I'd rather not free you into ours, but return you to your home.
Oh, no. Looking at your armor. No, you are obviously not one of...
Hey, Jen. Mm-hmm. Yorvink will look around and see if there's any ritual scrolls or books or anything that I could use. Because I can read scrolls. What could go wrong, guys? I'm a practitioner of the mystical arts myself. Not many people know this.
It's true. Our little Weasley friend over here, Yorvink, he may not look like much of a wizard, but he is. He does have quite the skills.
Who are you calling Weasley, Sisters of Mercy?
Go ahead and check, Julian.
Sorry?
Intelligence check.
All right. Let's see. Intelligence check. Oh, wah, wah. It's a 6. Do you want my... Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, there's no other bonus.
Yeah, Deog was pretty selfish with that. He didn't teach you much.
Oh, but I have Deog's spellbook now, don't I?
You do, but I don't think...
Yes, you do.
Actually, considering he burned to death, maybe you don't.
Can I make a luck check to see?
Whose side are you on there, Jeff?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, come on now. Hey, we died. We took damage. We weren't on fire.
True.
Yeah, we saved.
No, that's perfectly fair. I'll give you a luck check, Yorvink.
Uh-huh, let's see. Let's make a luck check, guys. My luck is currently at 12.
Even after all that you spent, that's pretty nice.
I was up to 15. I was over my actual maximum because of your graciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But it won't take long with my 4 hit point self to burn a lot of luck. Let's assume. Hey, I totally didn't make it. Okay, never mind.
Okay.
So is there anything? So I'm assuming that I don't see anything in this room to help me with any ritual stuff. Going back to the other intelligence check.
I would like to ask the two in the circle, if you were to see a Theophage, what would you do to them?
The succubus smugly points to the one on the table and says, I don't think I can be any more eloquent than that.
Well, I wouldn't mind doing the same thing to these Theophages. Gimbal and Yorvink, shall we have a conversation in the hallway?
Why don't we talk to the Theophage? I'm sure he'd like to be let go or maybe just put out of his misery.
Quick side note, Gimbal and Yorvink, what are your alignments? Because I'm chaotic.
Of course you are.
I am Yorvink, the thief, known as Yorvink the Yonder.
That doesn't answer the alignment question.
Law and order is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, if you really are dying to go out in the hall, that's okay. But, I mean, what are we... We're not freeing these freaking... come on, guys. Are you kidding me?
Ogda is not against the idea of potentially freeing them and seeing if they want to help us wreak some havoc on these Theophages.
I am not against the idea in principle. I just think it would be very unwise.
Okay. So we can chat with the Theophage.
I mean, we should at least have some kind of safeguard or protection or, you know, yeah. Anyway.
Do tell.
Yeah. Let's talk to the Theophage. I'm going to go over to the Theophage's slab.
Okay. As a reminder, the body is pinned to the tabletop with scalpels and cleavers. And there's these flasks and just this arrangement set up precariously above him. As you approach, you see eyes, ancient eyes, looking out to you, And in a whispered breath, he's pleading, please end it.
We'll consider it if you tell us what you were doing here.
The devil did this.
I'm not asking what happened to you. I'm asking what you folks were doing up on this mountain.
A slight smile crosses his face, despite the constant pain.
And you want this to end? You tell us the truth.
Oh, where's my beautiful, beautiful summary here? Chaos will end it all soon enough.
So you're saying you would like to stay writhing and wriggling on this table. Is that correct? Is that what you're telling us?
Would what I have to say change anything?
I stick the handle of my axe into one of his wounds and kind of wriggle it around a bit and then pull it out.
Okay. And as you do that, some of the flasks on the table begin to wobble and fall.
I take a big step back, like a leap back.
Gimbal, Yorvink, if either of you would like to try to catch something before it falls.
Gimbal will try to catch something. He's nimble. Yeah. Gimbal the nimble. You want a reflex?
Yeah.
And maintaining true to Gimbal the nimble, 19.
Ooh.
Nice. Yorvink will also try. Oh, how about a crit?
Fancy. Very nice. And it's almost like Yorvink especially, you reach out and catch it just as the imp starts to yell, hey, watch it. Oh, you're good. You know.
See?
So if there's other flasks on the table, let's take them off now.
Well, they're part of the, I hesitate to say just chemistry set, but it really looks like something you would see in cinema with just the precarious little things and the bright green fluid over here. And yeah, but you managed to keep the flasks from becoming disrupted from the spot they were in, which is probably a good thing.
I'm going to tell the Theophage as I carefully put the bottles off to the side somewhere where they're not so likely to fall to the ground or onto the table or what have you. Mm-hmm. I will say, if you tell me how I can heal myself, I will end you. You must have some way of preserving life and healing, and I badly need this.
That's an excellent question. I will call for half of an intermission while Jen looks up something real quick.
Okay, and while you look that up, I look over at the succubus, and I say, I get why you wanted to see these guys dead and tortured. And I kind of like share like a knowing nod with her.
You must go further in. You must find the demon who killed Yorvink.
Dude, you suck.
That is your best bet.
This Theophage sucks. I'd kill him if it wasn't what he wanted.
I look skeptical and I go, really, that's all you've got? Like, they're keeping you alive, obviously. They must be healing your wounds somehow. And there's not a way. You're disappointing me, Mr. Theophage.
You're begging for us to end it all, but giving us very little information.
Ogda, give me a luck check.
Okay. I failed.
And there's almost a stench as the Theophage on the table breathes his last breath. Might have something to do with that axe.
What about the axe?
Might have something to do with you digging the axe handle in.
Boo.
Well,
yeah. I didn't want to accidentally help him.
Wow. Wow. That was, I don't know. I don't know if I'm filled with admiration or disgust or both.
I'm saying Ogda is kind of a Lady Elric.
I think Ogda is more of a half-orc.
But like a really gothy half-orc.
Emo.
Yeah. Kids today. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's, interesting. Is there any other exits out of this room?
No, there's one on the other side. You just have to kind of wind your way through the tables and, you know, not disrupt one of the circles, one of the two that still holds something in it, unless you wish to.
Ogda's really considering it. Ogda looks at the succubus's circle and looks at you two and looks at the circle and looks at you two, kind of raises an eyebrow.
You know, you do realize that wizards study for decades to bargain with these things, right? Like,
I do, yeah. But I feel like she and I have got a rapport. She's like my sis.
Oh, the succubus.
A rapport, huh?
Nice.
All right, we can leave. We can leave without disrupting the circle.
Yeah, Jen, can I before we move on? Can I poke around in those bottles and so on and see if I recognize anything valuable or useful? Oil, anything flammable, anything healing, or anything else?
What was your occupation?
Minstrel.
This is stuff you would write a tune about because of
yeah. Lucky. I became a thief because of my great singing voice.
That it all becomes clear.
Yes. Okay. Well, we'll cross. I suggest we cross to the other side of the room and put Gimbal in front and resume our progress.
I love the bravery shown by shoving the dwarf in front.
Actually, Gimbal, are you injured right now?
Heck yeah, I'm injured. I'm barely alive.
Okay, yeah. Ogda's going to go ahead and push Gimbal aside, and she'll lead the way.
Oh, that, yeah, even better. I forgot. We have a new fresh warrior. Even better.
Yep. Fresh meat shield.
Ogda, you're first. I follow Ogda.
This hallway is more of the same with the grass and the also covered brass. Little licks of flame here and there, and you get to it looks like you're on one of the forks in a Y intersection. If you were to take the other and head back kind of opposite direction from southeast to northeast, right? Looks like that part continues. However, to the right, you are presented with a doorway, I believe.
I like the look of a doorway. Hey, Jorvik, does this thing look trapped to you?
My apologies. I'm not used to coming from this direction.
I will take a look at... I'm sorry, is it a door or a doorway, Jen?
Yeah, that's what I'm double-checking, because I'm not used to coming this way. Oh, it is... no, doorway. Wow. Okay. Things have changed. I'm not... Change is hard, dude. If you were to turn right, you see that copper-lined or brass, I'm sorry, the brass-lined hallways are becoming more green-tinged. It's not nearly as warm in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, do you want to explore some more fire, or do you want to go check out some water?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It looks like rust to me. I think
No. The light is more greenish.
Oh, I see.
As if you take a few more steps, you are at the bottom of one of these stairways leading from that grand platform in the center, cored out part of the mountain.
Oh,
now,
wow.
Obviously our characters wouldn't have this reference point, but from a meta perspective, does the light kind of look like the light would look like in an aquarium? Like as you're walking through an aquarium, kind of that greenish light when light is filtered through water?
You know, that's not a bad metaphor for it. I'm not sure if that's exactly what Harley was going for, but yeah.
Okay.
I'll take it.
Okay.
I'll work with it.
Cool. So yeah, do you guys want more water, or should we stick with or fully explore the fire area?
But the fire was in the house of the wolf, right?
Yep.
And wasn't the wolf the warrior and dwarf land?
That is something that you would have gleaned from the research, or that you did glean from.
Yeah.
Either research
from Dayak's
dream or something.
Yeah. It was Dayak's dream.
Wolf the warriors. Yep.
Dayag, we got one useful thing from you, Dayag.
Hey.
A kick-ass, no, we got two useful things from you, Dayag. We got a great dream and a kick-ass lightning bolt against an ice worm.
And we all had spider climb for a while.
Well, that's true.
We did have spider climb.
That was pretty cool. And he suggested we take lots and lots of naps.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to think he was narcoleptic.
All right. So we're going to not go down the hallway that starts to turn kind of greenish, where the air turns greenish. We're going to instead go down the Y intersection that still stays kind of fiery.
Okay.
And wolfy.
Yeah.
Excellent way to phrase it. All right. You get to another larger expanse, and flickering lights line this dark gallery, casting long shadows of fearsome creatures against the high vaulted walls. Dozens of beasts, posed as if frozen in the fullness of life, array this dark hall. Great prowling cats, hulking humanoids, strange batmen and crustaceans line the floor and walls, while a massive winged bird is suspended overhead. Strangely, the enormous rock is missing its head.
Rock, R-O-C?
Correct. That would be the bird overhead. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, looking at the massive rock overhead, does it look as though it was assembled like in a like the Museum of Natural History and it just didn't have a head? Or does it look like it was like mounted, stuffed, and then like something hacked off its head? Or something different entirely?
Yeah, interesting. It's mounted high overhead. You're not quite sure. It does look like most of these things are taxidermied.
Okay.
You can even see a couple of things covered in dust and soot, are supported by little copper wires that are cleverly placed for just the right framing of a beast. And there's kind of a extra interesting smell in here. As you know, some taxidermists will stuff their projects with foul-smelling herbs to ward off rot.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and enter the room and walk around to a vantage point where I can see kind of the stump of the rock's head as best possible and look at it to see, does it look like it was intentionally taxidermied without a head, or does it look like its head was cut off while taxidermied and like the foul-smelling herbs are kind of like visible?
So as you go through, you notice that some of these... I don't want to call them creatures because I would get the wrong idea. But some of these figures show additional wear from having toppled over or ripping in certain places. And it looks like that's maybe what happened to the head of the rock.
Gotcha. And are there any additional doors?
There look to be two passages going straight out the opposite direction you came, but they're along the walls. So it's like they're, imagine two doors, but they're just passages on the opposite side of the room. So you come in one, and then you go out one of those two.
Gimbal and Jorvik?
Are they their doorways, not doors?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, all pretty open. There were doors on either side, or at least doorways, on either side of that laboratory, or laboratory for some of our listeners. But there are no doorways in this area.
Lead on, Agda.
All right. So Agda's going to go ahead and walk through the doorway that's flush along the right-hand wall.
Okay. You head that way and previously, absolutely stock still, a creature reaches out and tries to snag Agda.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. A claw that may have once been a giant cat comes in. I only have a 13 to hit. That is
not going to hit.
This is weird. This is really strange. Whew. No bueno. Okay. I guess I'll roll initiative. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What you got, Gimble?
14.
14 for Gimble. Anyone higher?
19.
Ooh, fancy.
Quick moving Jorvik has a 4.
All right, Agda. Take it away.
What is this thing we're fighting? Can we see it?
The broken body of what must have been just an enormous prehistoric lion. And all that you saw at first was the claw But as it emerges from this collection of bizarre animals, you see the head of the rock as well.
Yeah.
All one being.
Like,
all
it's
one
got okay. that. Right.
Yeah.
But it attacked us with the claw, correct?
It did. It just kind of okay. reached out from the darkness.
Gotcha. So Ogda's going to go ahead and spin around with her big battle axe, and she's going to try to knock its claw off of its taxidermied body with her axe.
Okay, what is your deed die?
A 7.
Roll a d8, please. Gimbal, that'll be yours as well.
Okay, so I've got a 20-something.
20-something, sure.
So my 20-something is going to do 12 points of damage.
Okay.
And I've got a second attack, which only does 6, 7. The second attack is going to miss.
Okay.
But my deed die was a 4.
Okay, and what was your declared deed there, just to hit it?
No, my declared deed was to chop off its claw, its taxidermy claw with my axe.
Not a problem. You see the claw bits just heading out.
Cool.
Heading out down the hall. All right. Gimbal.
Is there another claw visible? Or is it just the one claw that was visible?
You don't know yet. It hasn't fully disengaged okay. itself from this collection of animals.
Okay. And I will attack my hand axe. I fumble. My dice are not any good this week either.
House of the Wolf! House of the Wolf! Come on!
Yeah, what'd you get for your fumble?
Trip and fall, wasting action. Prone, must use an action to stand next round.
Oh, that's kind of boring, isn't it? Okay. All right.
It seems relatively safe.
So, trip and fall, which makes you prone, gives a slight bonus to hit, but not much. But Ogda, ooh. Yeah, you done got this thing's attention.
Cool.
Yay. Right. And a 7 ain't going to hit you?
No, ma'am.
Holy.
I'm not afraid of any giant mountain lion. I once killed an ice worm all by myself.
And it reaches out with another claw, but also tries to go in for a bite, and not so much with that. That sucked. Okay. Threatening.
I am going to try to position myself behind this thing and see if I can get a backstab on it.
I'll allow it.
All right, then off we go. That is going to be a 14 backstab. Let me double check here. And then on a melee attack, I get a 3. So a total of a 17 to hit.
Yes.
All right. And I'm
very sad.
I will take, I'm using my dagger on it, trying to gut this thing. Is it full of stuffing, actually?
Well, kind of.
I'm about to find out.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want me to, my crit?
Yep.
I'll roll the crit, which is 1d. Oh, I forgot. It's 1d20.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I got an 8 on crit table 2. Do you want me to look that up?
I got it. That's perfect. And
also, not that I want to open up another one of these Pandora boxes, but melee? Don't you mean melee?
Oh, no. Why, I mean melee.
Melee? Like, an apple is melee.
What was your base damage?
7.
Okay, give me another d4.
And is a 4.
Nice. Yeah, you managed to get behind it and turns to you in such surprise that as you're taking the dagger out, you manage to just swipe right across it again and you hit its face and you see in this light that this thing bleeds a brilliant green ooze.
Hmm.
And We're back to Ogda. I don't think it's going to get another turn.
All right, so Ogda's going to go ahead and try to sweep one of its lion legs with her battle axe, possibly ripping off that leg, but either way, she wants to try to trip it.
Okay. Sweep the leg, Ogda.
It's kind of doing a tripod thing right now, so it's really going to suck.
Yeah.
Probably not suck for it too bad, considering I did fumble.
Burn a luck, burn a luck, burn a luck, luck, luck.
Oh, I can burn a luck to avoid that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I'll go ahead and do that. I'll burn the luck to avoid that.
Okay.
My second attack, however, that one might hit. That my deed did not go off on that, but it's a total of a 13. Does a 13 hit?
Surprisingly, yes.
Okay, my deed does not go off, but that hit did 9 points of damage.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for this little thing, unfortunately. Most of these animals here, you can see the little bits of wire and stuffing, as you said, Julian. This thing, not so much.
Ogda's now mad. She's going to walk around with her axe and start hacking up a few of these things just to make sure that they're all dead.
Nice. You're just going to go through this huge menagerie of stuffing and...
Yeah, not through every single one of them, but at least through like a good like half dozen that were right next to it.
Well, I mean, it's the only one that responds.
She's still doing it. She's mad. Because that one was nice and still at first, too.
Good point. Good point. So in a flurry of stuffing and all sorts of bizarre components of animals that Dayog probably would have loved to have collected. Ogda makes a little whirlwind of herself and... There's no further disturbance. It's warm and sulfurous in here.
Well, if one of these damn things doesn't get in her way, she's now going to try to walk down that hallway that she said she was going to walk down before.
Fair enough. This area, it's kind of interesting. If you were to imagine like the way a piano keyboard looks, there's the hallway and then there's little inlets. Like that's where the little, the flat and sharp keys would be. And the air in here is thick with acrid smoke, reducing sight to a mere few steps and stinging your eyes and lungs. Dozens of monastic cells are carved into the stone walls, little more than coffin-sized holes laid with woven straw mats and homespun blankets.
This is all a hallway? This isn't a room?
It's a large area of irregular cells. I say cells. If you think of a mortuary, where you've got the inlets, where that's where they would... inter the coffins, kind of like that. There's all these inlets in there that just have the bare mats or blankets in there for them to sleep in.
This room is smelling trappy to me. Jorvink, you want to check this out?
Yeah.
Jorvink, you're going to be on a D14.
Okay. Hello, that is a 21.
Nice. So Jorvink, it's really weird, but it's just weird.
Well, we'll do a little ransacking, just looking for anything valuable, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or healing potions, especially healing potions. That would be my... I know it's kind of a theme going here, but...
Possibly... go ahead and give me luck checks. Actually, not luck checks. I take that back. Everyone who wants to look, give me a d20 plus your luck modifier.
Four.
17.
11.
Jorvink, as you're feeling around, you feel something that's a little bit more felted than... the blankets that you've been finding, and you come out with a carefully folded robe and cowl that looks just like those worn by the three skeletons that you found on the opposite side of the entrance to what they're calling the Alembic. Gimbal, you find a ruby ring. It has a sigil on it.
Do I recognize the sigil?
Probably not something that would be your forte. Not necessarily useless.
Okay.
And
I'll show it to Yorving.
Yeah.
No, that's a nice ruby. Hey, look over in the right hand. I have a nice piece of dried meat for you, dwarf.
And
just
Gimbal holds onto the ring and just shows him the sigil.
Just kidding. I like to kid my little dwarf friends.
You're a little impish right now. Your inner imp is showing. Ogda, you find a cone of incense.
This is very sailors-ish right here. I'm feeling
a little bit.
is there a big lake in the next area?
Oh no, that's the center of this place.
Does the cone of incense smell like the incense that was burning in the brazier room?
Well, Ogda didn't pay that close of attention when she was in there, but as Ogda kind of puts it up to her nose and tries to figure out what it is, you suddenly don't care. Like, Ogda, meh.
No, it's weed.
Okay.
All right, I'll go ahead and put that in my badass warrior fanny pack.
I'm putting on this robe and cowl. Because what else would I do? Now, here's the thing, guys.
Mm-hmm.
When we run across this demon, he's going to be extremely angry and attack me when he sees me wearing this robe. So you must defend me. But everything else might let us through, thinking that we're one of them.
And you hear laughter from around the corner. And this... Well, it looks exactly like the imp that you saw in the other room, and it comes out. Oh, you're so clever.
I take a bow. And for my next song.
Hey, your friends were saying we should release them. What do you think? Should we go release your friends? Actually, why haven't you released your friends?
I have no friends here.
Yeah, in the other room. There's the lady in the circle and the other one who looks like you.
Because I would like to find the item that holds they got the phylactery, you see, and I need to find it so that they can't bring me back again.
And those two won't help you find it? Why you just leave them there?
I don't trust any of those people.
I don't blame you.
And he points to Yorvink as well. I don't trust them, and I don't trust the other ones in there. So I'm trying to do this on my own, and alas.
You want to be my familiar? I am a mighty wizard.
Well, about that. He points back at Yorvink and just says, "Be gone!" And nothing happens.
If you study with me for a year and a day, you'll cast that spell perfectly. But it takes many months of training. Many months.
Well, little friend, this phylactery that you're looking for, what does it look for? What does it look like?
It's carved from onyx, and it's in the shape of a beetle. And I know exactly where it is.
If you know exactly where it is, why don't you have it yet?
Because this place moves in interesting fashions. And they had a device that allowed them to alter the orientation of the signs.
Yes.
Without that, I cannot access the area that I need to.
So which area is it? Which alignment of the astrological signs and the elements is it that interests you most? Because perhaps we can lead you there.
Well, you need this symbol of water.
Aligned with which creature?
The goat would be wonderful.
The water goat, perfect. So, little friend, I like your pluck. I feel like you've got some spirit in you. if we were to find a way in which to align the water with the goat, would you be willing to assist us?
Oh, you have it?
We might. And if we were to have such a key, or if we were to find such a key, would you be willing to partner with us to help us take care of the phylactery? We'll even let you be the one to destroy it. We'll give you that satisfaction.
Oh, I would be most willing.
Wonderful. Now, if we were to have such a thing, do you know, would we be able to alter the rooms from where we are, or do we need to be in that big center chamber?
You need to be able to access the sphere of water, the element of water.
So when we're in the element of water, we could then move it?
Yes.
Oh, well, I think I know which way the element of water is. So would you like to follow us?
I would love to. Thank you.
Please. Yes. Come with us. And how little is he? Is he, because if he's little enough, I'd like to motion for him to hop onto my shoulder. But if he's like 2 feet tall, that won't work.
He would love to.
Okay, perfect. So I pat my shoulder.
Yeah. I mean, he's shorter than the dwarf, but we'll say gnome size for sake of argument, you know, for just scaling.
And when he hops up onto my shoulder, I say, "Hi, I'm Ogda." And I reach my little hand up to shake it.
Habiz.
Nice to meet you, Habiz. All right, let's go check out some water.
All right. That was...
Gimbal, Jorvink, you got, oh. Are you both down with this?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. So we're going to turn around and go back to the intersection. And then instead of going down the way we came, we'll go down the way where the light starts to turn kind of greenish.
Right. And that puts you in the center of Sagarmatha again.
Okay, perfect. So from here, who actually has the object? I forget.
I thought Deog did.
I left Deog's body in the taxidermy room, hoping that somebody will eventually stuff him and, you know, add him to the collection. But I did have the foresight to take the wheel, unless Gimbal, you would like to be carrying it. It doesn't make any difference.
No, I think Jorvink, it makes more sense you'd keep track of weirdo objects like that.
Very good.
Jorvink, do you have any issue bringing this out in front of the imp and turning it?
I will just turn it. I won't do it in front of the imp. I will just do it.
All right.
Okay, so you are standing where when you do this?
We will stand in the center chamber.
Okay.
The one filled with the greenish light, right?
Right. So behind you now is the area that was obviously that of fire. To your right, you actually see stairs ascending and going back to the primary platform from which you came when you first entered the mountain.
Yeah.
And to your right, you see an area down some steps that looks like that weird swinging doorway that you dealt with before. Straight ahead appears clear. Like, you can go down the stairs and go into the next area if you would like.
Okay. And I look at my little imp buddy and I say, "Does this seem to be right?"
Yes.
See? Good job. Mm. And I give my little guy a high five. See, all that happened is we all needed to team up.
Yeah. I'm keeping a very close eye on Habiz.
Habiz means no harm.
Right.
Yeah, as you're walking below, that sound of kind of sloshing liquid below, since you've got all the streams going along the side of this channel, where the channeled out hollow here, you see something from below that it looks like that greenish liquid laps up a little bit. It doesn't get anywhere near the height of your platform where you're standing, but it looks like it's a little less dormant. Just atmospheric food for thought. You may continue.
I'm sorry, I was looking at the handouts, but yes, I will continue.
I'm sorry, I was thinking about something else. All right, Dad. And yeah, as you descend this set of stairs going toward what your new friend tells you is the water sphere, you begin to hear the crash and thunder of falling water. And you enter this area that it's a large rectangular room. You're coming in from the long side of it. And the walls of this vaulted chamber are composed entirely of skulls rising to a peak high above. All of them are wet with water and blackened with mold and slime. And a grisly ramp of loose bones rises to a shadowy doorway set high on the wall of this vaulted area.
Does the ramp look sturdy, or does it look like it's...
It's a ramp of loose bones.
So no, it does not look sturdy.
Half submerged in the center of this chamber is an enormous brass gong.
All right. Bane Snyder. So the brass gong is not an onyx beetle, so that is not the phylactery. I know that much. It's slightly submerged, you said?
It is half submerged, yeah.
Is the water around it clear?
No, it is brackish water.
Is the room filled like with a pool type thing? Or can we see the floor?
The floor kind of dips down, creating that half submerged area for the gong. As you're looking, the water's pretty dark there. I'm sorry, what exactly were you looking at, Julian?
I was just trying to see, like, can we skirt the center and walk, safely around in the room with that, the water. Sounds like the water goes deeper in the middle and is more shallow or even dry, semi-dry on the edges.
Somewhat. As you start looking closely at the sides, there are long, sharp grates set into the walls. There's a dribble of cold water running through the grates, like maintaining this water level.
How high on the wall are they? Are they all over the place, or are they ankle high, or are they chest high?
I'd say about chest high.
So, Hobbes, do you see anything strange in this room with your powerful demon sense?
Oh, God, I should have known. I'm thinking to myself now, oh, I should have known. That's not one of my things.
Come on, you're a powerful demon.
I can do some things.
Hobbes, you need to stop selling yourself short, little fella. But all right, we'll look around. If you have any ideas, please whisper them in my ear.
I'm going to ask him to go get the gong for us.
Does he have wings?
It's not that huge of a chamber. If there is a gong, might there not be something to strike it with?
That is true. My concern is, if we strike the gong, perhaps these loose bone steps will come crumbling down.
Mm. Or all the water will come, double, mm-hmm. Suddenly flood much more fast into the room.
If you're not worried about it, we could go look at the door first.
Yeah, I propose we try to move forward, and then if it turns out we need a gong, we can then circle back and get it. But my feeling right now is this gong might be more trouble than the opposite of trouble.
Gimbal nods his head in agreement.
I'll try to do a find traps on that ramp of bones to see how solid it is, or if it's going to come crashing down, or if I can see any traps. I'll be, poking around at the base of it with my longsword.
You do, and you kind of poke at the bones of this ramp, and some of them scatter away, but you think you could scramble up there without a problem.
All right, Ogda's going to do that.
Yeah, I'll go too.
And there's a pair of enormous bronze doors at the top, and they're cast in the likeness of elephantine heads.
Hmm.
And they are weeping icy water from their corroded seams.
Aw, they're sad.
There is a large bronze bolt securing the door from your side.
Jorvik, do you want to see if this very sad door is locked? Trapped.
Well, it's for sure trapped with a giant pile of water on the other side that is weeping.
That's what I'm imagining.
Yeah.
That's what I'm imagining.
So I'll touch the door just gingerly to see, can I feel the pressure on it from, you know, a bunch of water? Does it feel cooler than room temperature, that kind of stuff?
Give me an intelligence check. That's the easiest way.
Yeah, and also perhaps Gimbal's construction knowledge would also let us know if these doors were truly airtight, or watertight, rather, and actually would keep all this water back.
I mean, he doesn't work in bronze all the time, but...
Hey, it's construction. He knows all construction.
Well, my intelligence check is a 3.
The only thing you can think of is that maybe it's a little colder, but it is bronze.
I'll look at these elephant heads that are weeping. I mean, is it just some kind of very small hole that's letting a little moisture through from the other side? Can I see what's going on? Is there a pipe running up on the inside of the door?
There's not. There's just the bronze doors. They've got the decorations carved on the outside, and the seam between the doors is a little bit greenish, like it's corroding, like it's been there for quite some time.
But the seam between the doors seems currently watertight?
No, that's where the water is coming from. As Jorvik was touching out to it, yeah, that water is very icy cold.
Are all of the doors cold then, too? The water's cold, so is the doors cold from the top to the bottom?
Correct.
All right, so there's probably just a wall of water behind this door. So the question is, does the gong help us, or does the gong open these doors and then drown us out? Or does the gong have nothing to do with this? Hobbes, what do you think?
Actually...
Jen, I'm going to actually just make a regular find traps on the door.
Okay.
Carefully poke around with my sword and even with the dagger up on the seam a little bit and the weeping elephant heads and so on.
Okay.
And that is going to be a 15.
You know that there's something going on with the doors. You're not able to find a way to, quote unquote, disarm it. So, save for confirming the risk that you already know, it's pretty much all I can give you on that particular point. Abius says, I just know that they're keeping it, or they kept it in the library, but I've never been able to get to the library. I don't know how to help you on this one. I've never actually been over here because everything was inaccessible.
I know how you can help us. We'll all back out of this room carefully, and you can open this door.
I think that's a horrible idea.
I'm with you, Hobbes. I don't think that's a good idea at all. And I go ahead and I pat Hobbes on the shoulder. I'm here to protect you, buddy. Don't worry. We're on your side.
What are you thinking, Gimbal?
So can we make it back to the center room and just change the dials from there to get to water and goat? Like, he said we could come here and change it, but we can't really do that. So can we reset the gears to be water and goat from the center room and then...
Isn't that where we are?
Yeah, that's what we did.
You never said you did? That's what I was asking. What are we doing here? And that's why I said this area is open already.
I'm sorry. I guess I was saying I was going to do it without him looking at me. But
I'm sorry. I thought we had already done that.
Okay. Well, very good.
Then let's go back. Let's go back and then do that.
Okay.
It's fine. And you and Jeffrey were on one page, and me and Julian were on another. So obviously there was some miscommunication somewhere, but it's not on one person's shoulders.
It's all good.
Okay. So the idea was, I thought, to go kind of back out to that central room and then hit the, and then turn the, and set it to wolf, goat water, right? Goat water was the thing?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Avoid a giant water trap bone pit.
Okay. So you do that and you hear the unmistakable crashing and grinding sound of stone upon stone turning. And you don't necessarily feel a lot of motion yourselves, but you do notice as you look from the center, you look in each of the three directions that you knew were certain areas. And they appear to be barred to you. Like the way is blocked.
Sorry, when you say barred or blocked, I mean literally barred, or you mean there's a big stone wall there, or
big
what? Big stone wall.
And from atop Ogda's shoulders, you hear, No, that wasn't it. You're gonna have to do it again, but maybe just move it all in one circle. Go back, right back to where you are, but move it in a full 360.
All right. You hear that, Yorvink?
Sure.
Little Hobbes knows what's going on.
Bring your Hobbes to the Shabbos. Okay. I will.
That was actually wonderful montage music as the openings on all three reopen. And looking back the way you came, it looks to just be a dark hallway. There's that platform that goes up. You're not sure you're getting the same view as when it just exited to the monastery. All of the ways are open now.
Hmm.
Actually, Gimbal and Yorvink, give me intelligence checks.
How about 15?
18.
Nice. Remember how when you first got here, the way was barred, so you had to do something on the key to open this in the first place?
Yeah.
So until you did that, the little imp isn't lying. It was blocked.
Right.
Just like it just was for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's pretty excited. This is definitely the way we need to go. We need to go in there. It's absolutely your choice whether or not whether you open the door first or hit the gong with your head. I don't care. But we need to get through this. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Well, you're Ogda. You are leading.
Yes, I am.
Lead on.
I lead.
You lead. Where are you going?
I go through the water goat door.
Water goat? It's not a door. You're back in that nave filled with water, but the rickety stairway of bones going up to this big brass door that's trying to burst at the seams.
Oh, so the room is identical.
It's the same room.
Hmm.
Sorry, what was Hobbes saying to me about the gong?
Hit the gong.
It's your choice, one way or the other. Yeah, it's identical.
Okay. And the door is still weeping just as much as before?
There is no change.
All right, so I'm going to go and reach for the gong, but I'm also going to have my axe in my other hand ready to slash at anything that might leap out of the water, so I am not surprised.
Okay.
So I grab the gong.
It's large. I'm not sure.
I'm a big gal.
It's enormous. That's what it was. Half submerged in the center of the chamber is an enormous brass gong. We know how heavy that damn thing was at Gen Con, man. It is easily twice that size. So it's a do something to it or do something to the doors. Those would be your choices right this moment at this particular, in this room.
I'm going to search through the brackish water and see if I can find anything like a thing to hit it with.
And you nearly upset your little backpack friend as you do so, but he manages to cling on and you find what appears to be an ancient wooden mallet. It's almost decaying with all of the mold around it. And there's a leather head to it that's been sculpted into the shape of a skull.
Okay. I would like to try to prop the gong up against the wall and then up against like the skull wall. And then I will hit at it with the mallet.
Okay. And nothing happens. Nothing happens that anybody can see or tell.
Are the doors still seeping water?
You go back up those stairs and it seems just fine.
It's different than not seeping now.
It's not being buffeted. It's not trickling out of the seam.
Oh, okay. I will go ahead and unbar it.
You have a pair of doors ready to be open.
Yeah, okay.
I will go. Oh, shoot. I did.
What?
Oh, I already did my trap check on it. Yeah, fine. Go ahead, Agda.
I open it.
And you see kind of large or wide hallways ahead of you at this point. These are made of stone. Walls, ceilings, and floor have been worked smooth, possibly by the constant flow of the water. And for the most part, you've got a good foot to 2 feet of water throughout this area. It's brackish. It smells funny. And it's very cold, but seems to be stagnant, for lack of a better phrase. Seems to be safe.
And the walls look like they were very recently wet.
They do.
Yeah. All right. Unless there's anything specific you guys want to do, I'm going to say we walk forward.
I agree. Okay. You're first. Why don't you put Habez? Put Habez first. Habez.
No. Nah, he's on my shoulder.
Yeah, the water could potentially cover him to his neck. And you very shortly find yourself in a four-way intersection.
All right. Habez, do you know where the library is
from here? I wish I did.
Yeah, I wish you did too, buddy. That's all right. We'll figure it out. As I look down each of the three halls to my left, right, and ahead of me, do I see any doors or anything interesting from where I'm standing? Or do I smell anything different or hear anything? Is there any context at all into my decision making?
The dwarf can smell books. new dwarf power.
I love it. Let's see. There's that. Let me double check anything there for you. Some of the stuff is just a little too far away for me to give you a solid answer on all of this.
Jen, yeah. I'm going to make a guess that if I had a priceless ancient Theophage library, mm-hmm. I would want to keep it in the driest part of the dungeon.
I mean, you would think, but
can I? Does one of the three places look drier than the rest?
No, but the hallway going straight ahead seems wider. If that makes any difference to you.
So really our only bit of context right now is one hall is wider.
And everything is, okay. The world is wet.
All right. So,
does Gimbal sense if at any point any of these hallways are going up or down? Because also a library might be on higher ground.
Especially considering water. Yeah, water.
Okay. Gimbal will check the floors for that. If you had a marble, you'd roll it.
Actually, straight ahead seems to be declining a little bit after this. There's no context for left or right.
All right. So I'm thinking based on that, straight ahead is probably going to take it to something more watery. So you guys want to head to the left?
Yes.
All right. We're heading left.
Okay. Oh, this is going to be interesting. Okay. All right, so we are to catch everybody up, we are definitely in Water Goat.
Yes.
Okay. This passageway opens to a large amphitheater that stinks of blood. Several tiers of sodden benches rise high into the darkness. Arrayed along the benches are hundreds of desiccated, shrunken heads affixed to the benches by large metal collars. The collars are stamped with strange symbols, and all of the severed heads are chanting aloud, each in a different, forgotten tongue. Above, a jagged violet crystal hangs in the darkness, suspended by massive chains. The enormous stone pulses in time to the dread cacophony as it casts a single ray up into the darkness. Talk about some fine stro right in there.
I don't see any library here.
And do we see another way out of this room?
Negative.
Next room.
Okay.
Yeah, backtrack.
And Homer Simpson into the bush, and go into the hallway that would have been to the right.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I mean, from your shoulders, you hear a little. Aw, I like that song.
I mean, I thought that song was pretty cool too, but we need to find that library.
All right. Going around the bend over here, making sure everybody's on the same page, backing away slowly, kind of like boop, boop, boop,
yep.
Boop.
Okay. Yep. Looking for the library.
You find a long hallway with a couple of, alcoves, I suppose. The chamber itself is shrouded in dense clouds of hot steam. Peering through the haze, you and your companions can make out half a dozen or more furnaces. They're large egg-shaped ovens built of bricks and plaster. The furnaces are connected by copper tubes and funnels that feed to one another before finally emptying into the final furnace, which still glows white with heat.
And no door?
Not obvious.
Do you guys want to Homer out of this room too and then go down the wide corridor?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. We are going back.
Minded. I like this.
Unless you want to put an imp in one of these ovens, I'd be pretty curious.
Hey,
at the one in the robes again.
Sure.
I'm with you, little
guy. Yes, creature of chaos. Okay, very good.
Mm-hmm. So, backtracking, going down the wider hallway.
Yes.
Water courses down stone steps into a low, wide chamber submerged in a brackish pool. Scores of waterlogged books float.
The complete opposite of
yeah, I love it. Moldering scrolls and grimoires lie cast about, covered in black and green mold. Ancient tablets rest against the walls, dissolving into a tacky mud.
Hobbies, we're in the library.
Hot damn. Okay.
Yeah, let's start looking for this onyx beetle.
I'll try to use my smell treasure just in case it's helps.
Oh yeah, can Gimbal smell onyx?
It might be underwater. Gimbal, I heard if a dwarf sticks his head underwater and takes a deep breath, you can smell underwater jewelry. Is it true?
Chaps his armor and is like, no way.
What do you mean? All right, so how are we looking, investigating, etc.?
I'm going to try to smell treasure.
Onyx is a stone, right? I mean, a gemstone, one might say.
Yeah.
Yes,
definitely.
Your nose brings you to something that is just black with mold, and it's floating. The only reason the stuff in this room is moving is because you're walking through it, and you've disturbed the water as you come down the stairs. And there's a wooden strongbox.
Does the water go deeper than we are, than like the dwarf is tall?
In here, no, but it's really uncomfortable.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and walk forward to the strongbox, also ready to strike at anything that leaps out from the water.
And so, you know, from where you came in, almost opposite you is another passageway out. there also seems to be some sort of hallway or passage on the far end leading in the opposite direction as well. Yeah, it's absolutely disgusting. It's black mold, but...
Like my heart.
The glyph that Jorvink knows to be that of the worm is as clear as it was the day it was seared into the wood.
Oh, this is what Daog wanted, water worm.
Which is kind of ironic. Because it's exactly what he would not have wanted.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and open it up.
So the sigil flares brightly at that point. I need a reflex save from everybody. Jorvink, do you want
to... wait a minute. I'm not there with him. Her, I should say.
All characters in the chamber.
In the whole chamber. Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
What'd you get, Gimbal?
6.
Wow.
Is there a reflex save, Jim?
It is.
12.
Okay. You're fine. What did our Ogda get?
I got a 9. Mm-hmm.
You're...
And I don't know if you care about Hobbits, but I rolled a 7 for Hobbits, if you care.
Isn't,
I don't know what Hobbits is.
Isn't a Hobbits modified. A luck battery?
No.
Start burning some luck, Hobbits.
Hobbits will make his own save on his own die. Thank you very much. And Hobbits kind of yells out and clutches at his eyes. Gimbal, there's a bright flash of light. You don't know what the heck went on, and you can't see anything but that bright flash of light. It's just seared into your corneas for, we'll say, at least a round or two.
Okay.
Ogda, did you end up spending luck or no?
No. Or, I'm sorry, do I get a sense? I had a 9, right?
You're close.
I'm close? I'll spend a point.
Okay. You become okay. And, of course, Jorvink is just fine.
Of course.
Jorvink probably says, WTF.
You know, you shouldn't go opening stuff without me checking it for traps. That could be dangerous.
Good point. What's inside?
As you open the box, the sigil flares brightly. Although, oh, hey, look at that. I wish I had, like, a really cool... Oh. I do have a description. What you see directly in front of you is this ghostly being composed of dense mist.
I'm sorry, that's in the box?
No, right in front of you. And it growls, okay. Ogda! Gimbal and Jorvink and Hobbies have no idea what's going on. You are the only one who sees it.
Okay, do I see anything in the strong in the box?
There might be something. You're currently taking... Oh, wrong die. Yeah, okay, at least it's not a crit. I think a 27 hits you, and you're currently dropping your stamina by 5.
Okay. I reach into the box, and I grab whatever's inside of it.
There's a cloth bundle, and you feel at least 2 objects in there.
I immediately unwrap the cloth bundle and hold the 2 objects in my hand in front of the ghost.
Okay, Jeffrey, Julian, I'm not ignoring you guys, but would you like to do anything? You don't see an assailant, and you don't hear an assailant. You just see Ogda going about her way. And...
I can't even see Ogda. So.
No, I just see him hold his... I see him hold up stuff up, and I say, hey, don't unwrap those until I've had a chance to carefully examine those. It could be dangerous.
I say, ghost, get away. I have your items. I'll destroy them if you don't back off.
And... It turns into just this huge cacophony of no, 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 no from above your shoulder. The minute you say you'll destroy them. And so a 31 hits you.
Yes.
That will be another 4 points of stamina.
Okay. Okay. At this point, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to... Is there a surface nearby that I could lay the objects on and start trying to break it with my battle axe?
There's some rotting shelving going on. You could potentially do that.
Sure, I'll try that.
That's fine.
I'm going to go ahead and set the objects onto the shelves and with my battle axe try to break them in twain.
Oh, the attacker?
No, the objects in my hand.
Oh, God.
I want to break them. I want to destroy them.
Well, no, that's interesting. Go for it.
Okay. What am I doing to go for it? Is that an attack roll with a deed die?
Yeah, it would have to be.
Okay. The deed failed, but the attack was a dirty 20.
Give me a luck check.
The luck check failed.
It's a little quieter and your back feels lighter.
Okay.
And Jorvink, you see Ogda doing whatever Ogda is doing, and there's no imp on her back any longer.
Hmm.
From Jorvink's perspective, did it disappear? Did it become invisible? Or did it fly away? Or did it hop off?
More specifically, Jorvink is looking around at the water to see if I can see like an invisible thing swimming in there, or a tail in the trailing from climbing on the wall or something. You know what I'm saying, Jen? Some kind of water telltale sign.
Like a disturbance in the water?
Yep.
No, you don't. Because it's just a dense mist, Gimbal can see.
Yay.
And there's one more slash out, but I don't think I hit you with a 12. And whatever was attacking you, Ogda, dissipates into an oily mist.
Okay. So I grab the two objects and put them back into my hand because I don't want the invisible imp to steal them.
You survived this assault, so you are going to gain 2 points of luck.
Ooh. What are the two objects in my hand?
That was... There's an onyx fly and an onyx maggot.
Ooh.
Hey, neither one of those is an onyx beetle.
You're right. You done broke it.
Well, I failed to break it, right?
No, you hit the dirty 20 on that to do that.
Oh, sorry. So I did break them.
Yeah, the luck check was to lose your friend or not.
Okay, cool.
So you have a fly and you have a maggot, and each is carved from onyx and chased with gold and silver, and each is set with a little symbol that must be personalized to them, to the creatures who these go to. The talismans.
I don't have any idea what to do next. Do either of you?
Are there some shelves that are out of the muck and more preserved than the rest of the stuff in here?
Unfortunately, no. If you're really flailing, I can tell you that there's another imp you can talk to. Succubus. Of the people and creatures you have met, you probably don't want to deal with the statues again, but those two would be actually fairly easy to get to.
Well, we just unwind and go back the way we came out, not the way we originally went in.
Well, we don't even need to unwind.
No, it's a straight shot across.
Okay. That's fine. So, yeah, I was just going to look around the library and see if I could find anything else, but it sounds like there's not much in here. So rather than beat a dead horse,
Yeah, those are the three items that have escaped destruction are the ones that were secured in that magically trapped strong box.
Right.
So one of them was the beetle, but I destroyed it.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Perfect. Thank you. Now I understand correctly. Perfect.
Yeah, you destroyed the people and the luck check to see if the imp made it or mm-hmm. not.
Great. But destroying that destroyed the phylactery of whatever that thing was. So, let's go back to my friend, the succubi. The succubus. Succubi is plural.
Okay.
So I walk in. Hey, girl, what's up? Look what
Something's
we found.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this changes things.
I would imagine so. Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Oh, do tell.
Are you drinking what I'm drinking?
Right.
What do you think we should do with these?
You could.
Because the third one was very easy to destroy.
Well, that's an awfully drastic measure. You could simply command us to leave this plane and use it to, and course the imp. No, you idiot! Look, I will go with you guys. I will help you. As long as you protect me, I will help you guys. You need to close the channels for these elements or everything's gonna go out there. Everything! that...
I look at my succubus friend, and I hold the two objects aloft, and I say, my friend, the succubus, return to your home.
And she vanishes with a very quiet thank you.
Now, y'all, Gimbal and Jorvink, we've got this little imp over here who says we need to close all these channels.
That's the only way to stop the incarnation of the Star Rod.
Okay, yeah, we want to stop that, of course. Who would want that to happen? That sounds terrible.
I was thinking more of these 4-foot gold statues that we found in the crevice thing. Like, if we just got about 10 more of these, we'd probably be pretty set.
Oh, you want riches.
Yeah,
oh.
So here's the deal. We're going to release you. You're going to show us where the riches are. Then you're going to show us how to close the channels. I will let you choose if you want to roam free in our world or return to your own.
You're going to have to parlay with the lords of each of these elements. And that means you will need to find some more things.
At least we're going to need somebody with a higher personality.
And I say to the imp, I don't think we'll be able to do this in the next 15 or 20 minutes.
That is a very fair assessment. This is a very, very large map.
I say to the imp, this might be a 3-part episode.
Or, you know, we could just fast forward for funsies. Tell me where you want to go and we'll fast forward the whole thing. I'm good with hand waving, too. It depends on what your level of fun has been so far.
My level of fun says, let's just keep doing this for however long it takes. But my level of wanting to be the person who has to edit all of this is like, let's go ahead and hand wave some stuff.
That's perfectly understandable. So I could do a handful of things just based on luck checks if you want.
Sure-sies. So first off, do you guys like my idea of we release the imp and he works with us to find some treasures, seal the elements, and I tell him he can choose whether he stays or not.
I'm gonna send him back. Gold first, then seal the elements.
Yes, gold treasure first, then seal elements.
Yes.
Now you're then drinking. I'm drinking. Nice. That's what I'm saying.
Nice.
But yeah, the plan is solid. I like it.
Okay, Jen. So we release the imp, and first we say treasure. Take us to treasure.
Okay. Oh, boy. So we are hand-waving all of this. Oh, man. This kind of sucks for listeners because they're going to get all of these spoilers. So, yeah, we're going to have undeclared treasures recovered from the rest of the monastic cells. Perfect.
That sounds very fair. So, guys, look at all this treasure we got.
Yes.
Yay!
There's a place you can't get to without turning things again.
Well, I'm going to ask the imp, do we need to turn things in order to get to the other elements, or is it turned correctly to talk to the elemental lords?
I mean, he'll have to do a once through to see what needs to be changed. Keep in mind, he is usually brought in here and then tortured, so he doesn't know his way around, unlike the one that has been... He had a full X number of centuries to explore this place before you came in, right? So he's a little new on the floor plan, but he can tell where some of these things are. And yeah, dealing with the Earth Lord is going to be like the biggest thing. And if you... All right, Jorvink, luck check. And Gimbal, Dwarfy, luck check.
I rolled a 17, so if we want to roll high...
I made it by 1.
Awesome. Okay, so traps are found, thwarted, and a treasure is found, which, incidentally, is exactly what the Lord of Earth wanted. And...
Well, we're not going to give it to him.
Well, it is easier to give one piece of a treasure and make a deal than it is to... battle somebody that has an undisclosed number of hundreds of hit points.
Okay.
So
I've got 45 hit points.
Right?
I got 4.
I got 14 left.
And as an added bonus,
fine to give him some treasure.
Well, give me a
and then I pick his pocket.
Give me a D12 with your luck modifier. I'm gonna pretend I didn't hear that, Julian.
Who are you saying
all
this
of
to?
You.
Four.
Are we rolling?
D12 plus luck mod.
Okay. 10.
Ooh.
7.
Gimbal gains plus 1 to all fort saves.
Yes.
Ooh. And Jorvik, oh my god, you're going to gain plus 3 to hit and damage any giant-sized humanoid.
Hmm. Would it work on goat-headed statues?
Yeah, quite possibly. And, I almost said Ogad. That's wrong. Ogda.
Ogad? I got a 4.
Wrong anagram. So... all of the stuff that you were currently carrying, any mineral wealth, coin or gemstone, is tripled.
Ooh.
Which more than makes up for what you had to hand over as trade. And as you find your way back to the center of the Grand Alembic, the fire channel is closed. And that's a fairly decent... we could potentially fade to black and presume you are halfway successful here.
Hey, sure. I mean, all I know is I took a thief through, I lived through, you know, 2 sessions of this, which is probably, what is it, Jen, about half of it? Or if we hadn't hand-waved that last part, it would have been half-ish or a third-ish, something like that?
You know, I would say for the moving parts, you set foot in probably 2/3.
Hmm.
For the outlying areas, of which there are so many, you hit numbered area out of probably 2 hands.
Cool.
And
yeah.
Ultimately, when you next step out into the center of the Alembic, everything is roiling higher and large waves begin to rise and crash onto the platform and the stairways going in between the spheres, and you will have things to deal with.
Yeah.
And they seem a little bit more difficult every time things move.
Hey, not too bad for not having a cleric. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Once again, not a whole lot of turning got done, but you didn't actually have to screw it, that's the wrong phrase. You didn't have to manipulate your fancy little gold and silver prop with the key and all of your symbols. What I am really curious to see is how many groups end up playing this with the map in front of them. Because it's actually, I think, at this point, a little too easy to game the system. Because you start noticing that, oh, well, yeah, I really liked the House of the Wolf because my deed die was higher. So I want to try to keep our play over there, but I want to move water into the wolf.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of part of the fun of having a dungeon where you can control that stuff, right?
Exactly. I will repeat from last time that the movement mechanics have gotten a lot easier than they had been in the past during our playtesting. But yeah, it was absolutely possible to say, I just want to keep it exactly where it is in order to manipulate the spheres again and get into these other places that I know there are openings to. Cost for that is the evolution of what's going on in the Alembic. With that whole area just becoming fuller and fuller of chaos.
And to your point, you definitely cut us some slack, but almost every party that would try a Harley adventure of 5th level would have a 5th level cleric, right? He'd be dropping plus 7 lay on hands on us left and right.
Maybe, yeah.
You would hope, anyway.
I mean, there was a cleric available to you.
I'm actually very glad,
Jeffrey, that you didn't take the cleric, because I always end up taking that stupid cleric.
I
almost took a cleric, but I was like,
And also, I don't know what's going to happen to it now, but I know that in what was supposed to be the Gen Con book for this year is a spell called Daog's Healing Touch, which is a wizard's healing spell. That didn't make it into the Gen Con program guide this year because there was no Gen Con program guide this year.
We should have a yearbook, but I don't know if it's going to be this year or next.
But that should be available at some point. So At that point, that wizard's healing spell will be canon DCC.
Oh, God.
Oh, canon.
Okay, who wrote it?
As in shot out of a cannon.
Hello.
Well, kids, hey, this was a lot of fun, Jen. Thank you for doing this. It was super fun to get the preview. Thank you to Harley for sharing it and the Dark One for allowing us to sample it ahead of time. It's very cool.
Absolutely.
I feel bad that it's just a sample. I would love to continue playing this and seeing, you know, how many more close misses we have. Like those statues, I'm really surprised that you've survived that. That was awesome. Right out of the box. I was like, well, this is a short show.
I did it.
Yeah, it was a near thing. It was a very near thing. I probably wouldn't, if I would have missed my save, that would have been it.
But thank you for your patience, all three of you and our listeners. I know that I'm kind of fumbling around a little bit here too. And you know, it's all still in draft mode. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Jen, thank you for running this. Harley, thank you for writing this. And this is Spellburn 100, celebrating DCC 100. So I think in the spirit of that, I also just want to say thank you to, you know, Jim and Job and Jeffrey Tadlock, who's here with us tonight, and Jarrett, you know, just the whole previous roster and current roster of Spellburn hosts. Yeah, the show wouldn't exist without all y'all.
And by the way, you've just been listening to a big preview of DCC 100, Music of the Spheres is Cast. So there were spoilers in there. So if you intend to play through it, you will want to unlisten. Just want to make sure that you understand that because
there were a lot of explanations of rooms given. I'm not doing my had you stayed there.
You didn't tip your hand that much. That's true.
And also, if you've been drinking as much as Julian and I while we've been while you're listening to this, you're not going to remember any of it anyway. So it's fine.
That's true. I didn't succeed on so many fine scotch rolls tonight, actually.
And you know what? It's still in draft mode, so maybe we can take out some of the parts that I elaborated too much on. Ha ha.
Jeffrey, thank you for being with us. It's great to have you come out of gamer
hibernation, I think.
Gamer hibernation, I was going to say. Yes. Yeah. No,
but yeah, thanks for having me. It was a great time. It was really fun to be back, getting to play and hang out with y'all. It was a great time.
Is anything cool. Different than you remember? What surprised you about playing?
You know, my rustiness on the rules, probably. I used to know the rules backwards and forwards, and you know, and a lot of times I just couldn't do that, but it was the same DCC, tons of fun, lots of cool, crazy stuff. You know, it's definitely what I remember it as. So it's very cool. It's great to be back. Great to hang out. So I'm glad you guys invited me back on.
Well, pleasure to have you. And honestly, you can join us anytime. But honestly, you didn't seem rusty on the rules to me at all.
Mm-mm.
That's good then. I pulled it off then.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's an amazing map. How big is that map? It's like 4 sheets. It's going to be a giant ass fold. It's going to be some assembly required.
No, I'm sure it'll come pre-folded. I have the drafts, so they're all like kind of taped.
But how are you going to put the thing in the middle?
They're all, do you not remember the brads, the paper fasteners that we used to have in school, that little bronze things, and they go through and they flatten on the other side and that makes things able to spin?
Oh, so you're going to, it's all going to be constructed and then you just open into the middle and it'll all be pinned up in there already?
Oh, you might have to do the little pinning part, but yeah, there's a total of, I've got a total of 4 in here and then one in the center of each of the.
And our listeners can't see Jen doing her best Vanna White right now.
Yeah, she's showing us this map and it has all these different moving circles placed on one big circle in the middle of the map. And enough said.
Yeah.
You heard her say no assembly required. So that means Judge Jen will come out to your house and she will, you know, show you how to do it or put a YouTube up there.
What
or something.
I meant was on the big full fold out part, dude. But
anyway, send your address to the band at spellburn.com. Say I need some DCC 100 wheel help. And
all right. Well, thank you for listening. And listeners, thank you for helping us get to episode 100. And with that, keep on rolling those D7s.
Game on, guys.
You've been listening to Spellburn. Copyright 2017. Right. theme song has been graciously provided by Glitter Wizard. Learn more at glitterwizard.bandcamp.com.